Big thanks to Frank and Oak for sponsoring our show today. Frank and Oak is the awesome creative workshop that designs, manufactures, and curates a monthly collection of fine clothing and accessories for men. That's right, dudes, get your clothes from Frank and Oak. Check out Frank and Oak on their website at www.frankandoaklikethetree.com. frankandoak.com. Use the coupon code HOW, that's H-O-W, at frankandoak.com/HOW to get 15% off on us. So update your wardrobe today with Frank and Oak. Hey, everybody. This is a live episode of How Did This Get Made? And as always, some things that we might be doing or saying are slightly more visual. So I tell you what I say all the time, which is deal with it. I don't want to cut out the funny stuff, so I'm leaving it all in there. So use your imagination. I hope you saw the movie. And enjoy How Did This Get Made? Live from Largo. Finally, a movie where you don't know who to root for. We saw Deck the Halls, so you know what that means.
Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth! For coming out. We have a great big show, but before we get started, let me introduce my co-host. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas.
You made me watch this movie, asshole.
And June Diane Raphael. And our very special guest for this evening, for this episode, please welcome, Andrea Savage! All right, guys. Deck the Halls. I got clips.
Please, let's never watch them. Watching the trailer, I was like, yeah, this fucking movie, this piece of garbage.
I got furious again.
Yeah.
I'm literally sawing that my blood started to boil. I'm like, you guys do this often?
Yeah.
To yourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you got to watch it, the bits of it again.
You got to recall
it. Like having to go to work with the guy that raped you. Minute one!
In terms of all of the movies we've seen, I feel like the premise of this movie, just the basic premise.
Is there a premise?
Yeah, there is.
Let's crack it open.
It was unclear.
But I do believe it's the craziest, most insane premise.
Well, can you tell, please? Because I genuinely want to know what it was.
I want to have a crack after June.
I need clarity.
I may have a crack after June.
Okay. Well, the trailer helped a lot.
I agree.
The trailer really narrowed the focus.
The trailer made that movie look amazing. Yeah.
Really fun.
Good for the whole family.
Yeah.
Not that there's pedophilia. Not that the other stuff's going to happen.
This is why it's crazy. I would say the premise of the movie is there's one neighbor who is our protagonist.
Oh, who? Which one?
Yeah. That is already, you are off track. You are off track.
Matthew Broderick.
Maddie B.
Ferris Bueller, and he's a guy who loves Christmas. He's the Christmas guy, which we heard
about. He's our protagonist?
50 times in the trailer. Yes.
I would support that. I think he's the protagonist.
Okay, he's the protagonist.
I agree that that's what the movie posits.
Well, yeah.
Now, here's where it gets crazy, though.
Okay.
Another neighbor comes into town.
Oh, shit.
Now,
this is us pitching the movie to studios.
First act, it opens up. He's got a great life. He's an eye doctor in a small town, and he really likes Christmas. I'm in.
Okay, in any other movie, you'd probably think the neighbor's moving into town is also a Christmas guy and is going to do Christmas bigger and better. That's not this movie.
Or is he?
Yes, it is.
No, it's not yet.
He's not this movie. He's searching.
Oh, he's searching for his big thing.
He's searching for his big thing. It happens to be Christmas.
It becomes Christmas.
It becomes Christmas by default.
Well, I would say it's not necessarily Christmas. He just wants to be noticed from space.
Okay.
That is what I would say. Yeah. That is what I would say. Now,
it's not. Yeah.
Right, so he could, okay. You're saying he could be putting lights on for any holiday.
I don't think he was driven by the Christmas spirit.
I think that was his. Well, there's so many things. Yeah. I mean, this is about a guy's journey to be recognized.
And to not be invisible. They keep saying he doesn't want to be invisible.
Very Kafka-esque. Very rooted in so many deep things. I will say that this is what I kept on thinking. You guys have seen the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, right?
Of course.
Yes.
I felt like this was the movie where like the protagonist was Julie Louise Dreyfus and the other guy, like the next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Like I was like, wait, why are we following the other bad couple? Like, like Griswold was the enemy.
Okay,
the other
in this movie, I guess you would say that Matthew Broderick's character had to learn how to not love Christmas as much.
Yeah,
or had to learn how to.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Okay, his lesson.
I guess they both have to learn what Christmas actually means for different reasons.
But Matthew Broderick seemed to have that already.
Oh no, he was too uptight and too rigid about his Christmas.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
It was too planned.
It was too planned that he needs to be more off the cuff.
And I know that because Charlotte tells him so.
Well,
but yeah.
By the way, weird that he is with Charlotte when he is actually married to Carrie.
Supposedly, Charlotte had to ask Carrie permission.
She got an email from Sarah Jessica Parker.
I swear to God.
That's what it says. Got an email from Sarah Jessica Parker. And apparently, they had one sexy scene that had to be cut to make the PG rating.
Oh, shit.
Whoa. He went down on her.
Meanwhile,
with antlers.
The other couple is DeVito married to Kristen Chenoweth. Now, both of these people under 4'10".
That was the thing I saw.
But
like I was like,
their daughters,
showed me how short Kristen Chenoweth was because when they're standing next to each other, wow.
Yeah. Literally, the first thing I thought when I saw them side by side, I go, "That's the only reason she got the job."
I guess. Or was it to have, like, I couldn't for the life of me figure out, and maybe this is my inability to see beyond DeVito just being a gross monster. I spent half of the movie trying to place my narrative on it, which is, he's a con man, right? He's a con man who moved to town and he's going to con Matthew Broderick somehow. Well, I could not get that out of my head at all.
Right. Because that's, by the way, that's what's really confusing because...
It's a better movie.
It is a better movie.
Well, that would have that there would be a plot.
Oh yeah.
Right. And so,
I love plots in movies.
There are points. There's a point where Danny DeVito turns on Matthew Broderick, and then it's like game on. They're going after each other. But for a while,
I'll take that.
Movie posits that Danny DeVito is so amazing at everything, but just gets bored with it. He sold a car to the guy who runs the car dealership.
In a scene we don't see.
And I mean this.
Because they couldn't write it.
Yes.
They clearly couldn't write that scene.
It's an impossibility.
Danny DeVito walks out, like, just stands and goes like this. Okay, I sold that car. For you at home, all I did was just wave my hand at Jason for 30 minutes.
I would like to ask, because that scene only bolstered my belief that Danny DeVito was a con man. What is Danny DeVito's problem? Like, why?
He seems to be good
at his job.
But he gets bored, and until he's recognized from space...
He's great at home. Did Kristen Chenoweth always have huge tits?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
When did that happen?
They're just presented in this movie.
She's 4'10 and a D cup.
No, she's presented well.
She can fit two Danny DeVitos in her chest.
I was like, DeVito, you're doing great.
By the way,
this is monumental for you.
All I can think about is because he's a creepy guy. I've met him once in my life and he kind of felt me up. And I swear to God, he is...
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Why does she have to say allegedly?
Yeah.
Listen, I think we have to say allegedly.
You have to.
It was backside, not front side. But...
He felt you down then, allegedly.
Allegedly. It was up and down.
You don't have to say allegedly.
Hey, listen, I don't want anybody coming after how did this
I am Danny DeVito's lawyer. But, it was a legend.
Okay, my point is, every time they had to kiss or like she was kissing all over his face, I was like, you know, inside a part of her died every time.
Well,
keep
I did
mind.
Notice she was well, wait, if we want to talk forehead.
She dated Aaron Sorkin.
Oh,
allegedly. Allegedly.
Okay. If we want to talk about people dying inside, can we talk about the body that is Matthew Broderick that once housed an energy? Like, this is the furthest you can go from Ferris Bueller. It looks like the shop has been shut down. Walmart moved into town, and this body is just going through life until the end.
He was a bummer in this movie. It made me sad because truly, and I mean this with all due sincerity, he was to me like the pinnacle of like physical, charming leading man comedian. Like,
yeah, he was
like
amazing.
I worshipped Matthew Broderick from War Games.
Project X.
War Games boggled my mind as a child, and then through Ferris Bueller's, like this
Election?
Is somebody. Him and John Cusack. Cusack's doing great, right? I don't know. I think they've both lost their minds.
Too much too soon. They'd beavered out. They'd beavered out after way later.
Are we using Bieber as a verb?
Yeah, they beavered out, man. I was using binds, but that's not politically correct.
Oh, they totally binds themselves?
They binds
themselves. They've gotten themselves in quite a bind.
Binds.
Should I pull out my inner information now?
Yeah,
because
sure.
Because it kind of
yes.
applies
yeah,
here.
Please.
It's not a big deal. But I am friends with someone who's in the movie.
Allegedly.
This one I can say for sure. I think her name was Greta. She only spoke in German in it.
She was teamed with Fred Armisen.
She was teamed with Fred Armisen, Gillian Wigman. You may know who she is. And I called her today and said, I just watched your movie. And
you must be so proud.
You must be so proud.
She must be getting these emails and phone calls all the time because
Christmas
it's on the shelf. Everyone's like,
in.
I know Gillian Wigman did not know it was her in the movie.
Are you serious?
I didn't recognize her
so
at first.
Wigman,
she's wearing
congrats.
A big hat.
Great performance.
Yeah. Like, congrats.
Changing.
Yeah.
Like,
by the way, there's a speed skating sort of competition that
yes.
happens, and that's how they figure out who's the best at Christmas and who's the best person in life is by speed skating against each other. They had to really train to speed skate. So there's some serious stuff that happens in this, guys,
yeah.
behind the scenes.
They went
point.
To like speed skating boot camp.
They
with,
did.
All
they
of
did.
Them
with
or
what's
just,
his name, Ono? Apollo Ono, isn't that good? That's
Apollo
his name?
Apollo Ono, yeah.
Fuck, I'm so psyched. I pulled that out of nowhere.
But anyway, so she told me on the Matthew Broderick down
yes.
at the bottom of his life, she said he was so depressed the whole time, and he just kept going, this is the bottom.
Oh, no.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
But you see, but don't you believe, I mean, not that this was,
nope.
not that this was the best movie, but
nope.
if he had a little bit of life in him, that this movie would have gotten better by maybe like a point or two.
No, he was dead inside. Oh. She said he literally would just be like, it's
do
over.
Guys, do you guys think Sarah Jessica Parker like feasts on his essence?
She sucked it out of him. She took everything that was
I mean,
him.
Like, it wouldn't take much to convince me
yeah.
that at night
she's an
she
emotional
like perches
vampire.
Over his mouth and it's just like
just sucking it like a Death Eater out of Harry Potter.
Exactly.
Just seeing.
No. Not a Death Eater. What are those things called? Nerds? Dementors.
Right, thank you.
Dementors.
And it's just
thank
sucking
you.
In all the pop culture. But I have a feeling...
I don't know if that makes you feel better.
Expecto Patronum.
I don't know if that makes you...
Right?
No, because I'm actually beginning to realize that I don't think that Matthew Broderick was ever like a cool guy. I think he always was this guy because I hear him talk about Ferris Bueller. He's like, yeah, you know, I mean, they wanted me, they had this music and John Hughes is really excited about this music. And I was like, cool, whatever. I don't know these bands. I'm like, oh, he was like, even at that young of an age, he was kind of just like checked out. Like,
by the way, that was like really good. Like for a minute, I wasn't looking at you and coming out of there was like Matthew Broderick.
I'll take it. Guys, let's talk about the, well, there's so many things to talk about. The amazing
is there,
CGI.
Though? Is there, though?
Well, here, my issue again with Danny DeVito is he dumb? Or is he passive-aggressive? Or is he just aggressive? Because at certain points in the movie, he says he's all of those things.
Yeah.
Like, at one point...
There's the first scene where they meet, he steals his coffee from him.
And his paper. Newspaper.
Like a con man.
Like a con man, and walks to his home.
Yeah.
So I just wasn't sure what we were supposed to think about that.
He just—that's the thing. From moment one, he starts off as a bad guy,
seemingly.
Right, but then Kristen Davis has that amazing wife role that just continually just goes.
It just gives
and great, and we should spend more time with them. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's always the like, you know what? You're judging him wrong. I know his wife seems like a stripper, and he's stolen stuff from us, but we should actually bring them more into our lives.
Because I guess she's thinking to herself, Christmas here is so rigid.
Yeah, because that was her big problem. They're a loosey Christmas.
Take on Christmas.
He's a Hitler Christmas guy. Like he runs a tight ship.
But let me ask you guys about the weird thing. They set up that advent calendar thing, where they open up, you know, the little box.
National Lampoon
Vacation. Okay, today's tree day, or today's the day we put on the wreath. But it's never called back. It's never like, oh, these, except for the carolers.
Except at the very end too. The Christmas Eve is as well. But yes.
But none of the events on that tree come into play at any point in the movie.
Correct.
Both of you are working actresses, very funny. Do you think what do you think about that character journey of Kristen Davis getting that cookbook?
Okay, one of the first scenes we see with her, I have actually a big problem with this.
I do too.
Okay, so the first scene we see, she's making some kind of curry dish. Matthew Broderick tastes it and says very honestly, it's terrible.
No. First he goes, it's great.
Right.
And then he says it's terrible.
And she screams out, pizza. Yep. Now, they cut to the dining room table, and they're all sitting around with a homemade pizza.
Wait, no, is that right?
I don't think it was homemade.
I think it might have been DiGiorno.
I thought it was DiGiorno.
I think you...
No. It's on a pizza.
It might not have been delivery. It could have been DiGiorno.
Yeah.
It's on one of those, stone oven.
This episode of How Did This Get Made brought to you by DiGiorno.
You cook pizza on.
I think
Wait.
So. You I heat pizza
you,
on.
Yeah. I swear to you, she whipped up that
pizza. This is what we
pizza.
Should really
okay.
figure out.
Yeah. You really went deep with the pizza
yeah.
and stuff.
I almost want to find it right now. I want to know. I think you might be vindicated.
No, it was on that pizza tin. I definitely
saw that. It wasn't a tin.
Not a tin, but a heating.
It was a pizza rock.
No.
Like a pizza rock?
Yes,
no,
that you put in
there.
Tin. It was a cookie.
Wow. This is the detail that I did not look at all.
Who are you knowing?
Anyone have any...
Show of hands, who thinks it was a pizza tin?
A couple.
Who thinks it was a pizza rock?
Yeah.
Who thinks it was delivery?
Who thinks it was DiGiorno?
Who thinks it was homemade?
All right. So you're hypothesizing
your
that she made
nothing.
This pizza.
Yes. Well, and by the way, her journey with her cookbook is very interesting.
Did you? Was that what you were upset about? The pizza thing?
Well, I was upset about it because...
Oh,
because
we were upset about different things then.
Yeah. Well, what were you upset about?
I was upset about the fact that he then says something to the effect of something about cooking recipes from your cookbook or something like that. And she goes, oh, you know, I don't cook those... I don't write cookbooks. It bothers me. Don't you know I don't write cookbooks? I edit other people's cookbooks.
No, Jason. I compile other people's recipes for my cookbook.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Wait,
so her cookbook.
Wait.
Yes,
oh, I thought she was an
recipes.
Editor, not
no,
a.
No, no, no.
Not
that's
a
what
compiles.
I thought too.
She
what?
Compiles.
But it's other people's recipes.
But she was very unhappy, and she goes,
it
"I compile
other people's
them
recipes.
For books no
I
one
felt like
reads.
He fundamentally did not know what his wife did for a living.
I think that's
what I'm saying.
That is exactly what I thought. I thought the same exact thing.
His wife has a job, and he's basically like, your job is pointless, I don't care.
No.
Cookbooks, right? Okay, whatever.
So much so that she had to say, you know that that's not my job.
Yeah, and
I thought the exact, well, yeah.
He's a terrible husband and the protagonist of this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, he was a terrible person.
By the way, the other really strange thing about her journey, though, is that he says to her, you need to start doing your own recipes.
Right.
And so you think this is going to be her journey, that she's going to come into her own as a cookbook author and, you know, really put her own recipes
You've
out
already
there.
Seen her make a bad recipe.
Right.
FYI.
Yeah, so
and
I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm excited to watch the journey. Now, what ends up happening is that Kristen Chenoweth says, you should do your own recipe book. And then Kristen Davis says, yeah, do it with me.
Yeah.
And so then the two of them...
Their friendship was so authentic. That's what I love.
But here's the thing that I
appreciate. I do have to say, there are some things about the movie that do hit home.
Here's the thing I appreciated about that. It kept Kristen Davis in her place.
Right.
Don't get cocky, brunette. You need a blonde to get you through this. Right? Like, hey. No. You're plain. You don't strive for that. You stay put.
But also, Kristen Chenoweth goes, and I even...
You guys were like, hey, we're all brunettes.
We're brunettes.
You know that only brunettes listen to podcasts, right?
Jason's going to be beaten up by a bunch of brunette women after the show.
How dare you?
Fuck Kristen Chenoweth.
Like.
But also Kristen Chenoweth, as she's so moved that Kristen Davis asked her to be part of her cookbook journey, she's very moved, and then she goes, oh, I have the title! And then she goes, food!
I thought she said food for food, like food for thought, food for...
No, it was food.
Food by blankety blank blank. Like, the weird, like...
And by the way, that's the end of the journey. That literal line.
No,
we never...
No, that's not true.
Wait.
Well, they referenced it at Christmas Eve.
What did they say at Christmas Eve?
But it was unclear.
No, what they said was when... Oh, I'm so angry. You fucking made me watch this. When the guys lose their families and win them back by having some sort of nonsense walk from the hotel all the way through town, which is like in the middle of the street, like with reindeer and garbage. If you haven't watched this movie...
Well, no one is on the road on Christmas.
If you haven't watched this movie, don't let anything we say make you watch this movie. But
honestly, that's what you should take away. It is not so bad, it's good.
It's never worthwhile.
It is just... Yeah.
This part, though, particularly bummed me out because I was like, fuck you! Even movie logic dictates that this is impossible! And the families follow the trail all the way back to the house, and the guys have created Christmas Eve dinner, and they've made recipes from their cookbook. And that's and it all looks gross.
It looks disgusting.
They did look like
they are a failure. Lesson learned, Kristen Davis and Kristen Chenoweth.
Boy, but that would mean that the book was written and manufactured in a matter of like 4 days.
Yep. They hold it up. It's not a book yet.
Oh,
it's
just
like several recipes.
Which is all it's ever going to be.
Yes.
But my problem with the Christmas Eve thing is this is supposed to be the big culmination where, like, they've learned their lessons that being seen from space doesn't matter and loosening up and...
One of those classic lessons.
Movie is about...
You know that you see in every Christmas movie.
Having being looser about Christmas is better, and they've supposedly learned their lesson by doing nothing.
Yep.
There's no evidence they've learned the lesson, but the music... indicates they've learned their lesson.
Sure.
It starts swelling.
Yeah.
And their family that's not talking to them comes back even though they've literally changed nothing about themselves.
Well, yes.
Except they worked together,
to make
guess.
A terrible dinner that nobody's into. And then everyone's happy and they're all forgiven.
Oh,
because
but
the music
you know what?
Has swelled.
They still get to be seen from space.
Well, but
wait, don't
know
spoilers.
No spoilers. JK.
Before we see that scene, though, I do want to ask one question about space.
Well, this is my question.
I hope this is just conceptual.
Yeah, I really...
Well, when the twins... By the way, Kristen Chenoweth and Danny DeVito have reared two girls who are
Playboy
Amazons.
Playmates.
Yeah, and they're also very tall.
Who sometimes
they're very
talk together. Again, they make weird choices. Sometimes they're talking together.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're having pillow fights. Sometimes they're just normal. Sometimes they're
dressed like prostitutes.
Yes.
And
their parents are okay with it, and it's...
Well, because Kristen Chenoweth was kind of like a prostitute when she was naked model.
But then it goes away. Oh, yeah, she's in a naked photo.
But then she's got that cross busting out later on in the movie.
But so we know she's cool.
First introduced the idea of Space Cam or My Earth, whatever it's called, because they've figured out where the hottest guys in school live. Because
right.
they're new to
Google
the town.
Earth, which they can't say.
Okay, so Google Earth. So now they're looking.
Which is the moment when I was like, this is that recent?
This is when I was like,
this movie isn't 12 years old.
That is when I looked it up and goes, what year? Because I, the whole time up until then, I was like, this is from 1993.
Yep.
100%. And I was like, I can't believe Jillian's in this? 2006.
So, 2006.
So when they're looking when they're looking on My Earth, they see.
My Earth.
They see houses that are near them from space.
Many.
Now,
she says,
how are
all the houses in town are visible.
Visible. Okay.
Except
ours. And Danny DeVito's response is, it's because all the bigger houses are visible. Of course, you can't see ours.
By the way,
but their house is huge.
But this is my question. Other houses are not visible from space because of the lights on them.
No, you're right.
Why?
I would argue that no one else has lights
no
up
one has
like
Google Earth. Doesn't seek out Christmas lights. And it is
it's not a live feed from a satellite.
It's a service that happens in real time.
That was the thing that made me crazy, because then they cut to like an Indian dude.
Okay, that's Cal Penn.
Cal Penn.
Cal Penn with a British accent.
With a British accent.
Cal Penn was like, I'll do this movie, but let me be British.
So nobody knows who I am.
And he's like in a space center, and they're constantly updating My Earth if they can now see the house.
Well, and then here's the other thing. He does one of my favorite moves. It's like when you go on like a ride at like Disney World, and they're like, here, you got to get in the car. Like, you know, it's like, what are you guys doing here? Like, they're doing a news report. It's like, now we cut to the My Earth control room. And he's like, this is on? Okay, anyway, we're working on this. I was like, what? Like, there's no producers?
But here's my question about My Earth. Why wasn't Danny DeVito's house visible
from
space?
I don't know.
But, initially, wait a second, but this is the thing. I'm sorry. I wish everyone could see my house from Earth, but everyone, you could see everybody else's house. Yep. So
you're now not special.
You're not special. He's never gonna be special. Like if you could see everything. Sorry.
But also, you know what?
Right.
He actually is special because he's the only one you can't see from space.
Yep.
By the way,
that would have shortened the movie.
I could see a world in which this journey makes sense, because I think the kernel of the idea of like I'm invisible. He wants bigger things. What's bigger than space? Bigger than the universe?
If the line wasn't even as well in the trailer of we can see everyone else's house but ours, so all he's trying to do is be seen as much as everyone else, that doesn't seem it. Like, but you're right, the idea of being invisible and feeling that visibility
and
from space
seen,
is important.
You know,
seen. Can I just want to just put, you know, when you make a movie obviously like this, it's based in reality, you would probably go, well, look, if our whole movie is about being seen from space, is that even possible? And the answer is no. There is too much light pollution on the eastern seaboard to see anyone's house from space. So that is basically, you could never be seen from
Here's
space.
Another big question I have. Why doesn't Matthew Broderick put up Christmas lights?
Well, if you noted in the scene as he is asked, as he's walking through the town with his poinsettia plant, and the locals are putting up their Christmas tree in the center of town, and they ask his opinion because he's Mr. Christmas. And they have a Marilyn Monroe on the top with her dress being lifted because something crazy happened. And he says, don't put a lot of lights on. We don't want it to look tacky.
Yep.
He has a thing against light.
Like classy.
I miss that.
It's part of him being so rigid.
I miss that. So it's not about him resisting Christmas.
No. He's
Mr. Christmas.
Mr. Christmas. It's about Christmas
lights.
It's about keeping it classy.
Like when he does his caroling and stuff like that, even he picks a weird song. By the way, this movie is full of non-Christmas songs. Like there definitely was an album released for this, and they would play them and it would be like Jingle Bell Rock and then another song like holly bushes are fun. You know, it was like, wait, I don't know that one. And they would play it.
They were trying to launch it.
Yeah, they were really trying to launch it.
Wouldn't for the writers this movie just be a lot easier if Matthew Broderick was a guy who hated Christmas?
Yep.
Yes.
Honestly, I hated Christmas. You know what?
Tell me more about this movie.
He hates Christmas. This guy moves in. He's like the town, you know, Grinch. This guy moves in across the street who loves Christmas.
Wait a second. That's inherent conflict.
Loves it so much.
I don't know. June, I don't know. I got to say, look. I feel like that character is very unlikable. I would maybe, what if he liked Christmas, but just in a different way? Isn't that more?
Also, how do we know he's good at his job?
Can he show an old lady that she looks hot with glasses?
Oh, that's great.
And
I like
then
that.
Later hit her with one snowball that knocks her off her feet?
Which has no repercussions.
Nope.
This movie has no repercussions. He falls in a lake, almost dies. He hits a woman with a snowball. They don't go back to it.
Well,
no.
Not only
but
that, nobody seems to care.
He hit someone with a snowball and she flew backwards.
Well, she's a frail old lady. There are scenes that felt like they were maybe added on in reshoots. Like, I would like to talk about the sheriff scene.
The sheriff is a cross-dresser? The
sheriff is a cross-dresser. Because that...
Please do.
That scene existed in and of itself. It had no context for the rest of the movie.
Nope.
It's never called back.
Well, it's
never
set up.
Used.
It's set up by the guy at the Christmas tree who says, I don't tell any secrets. The only secret I know is that the sheriff likes to wear women's underwear and blah, blah, blah.
I missed that in the beginning.
Yeah.
I will tell you that what I noticed in the first minute of the movie, because I was like, who is this movie for?
That's what I wrote.
Because it's very unclear. Because you're like, okay,
it looks
it's
like
a family movie.
But there's like tons of weird sex stuff.
So within the first minute,
the
there was
has a
the old lady
the whole
looks
movie.
Hot.
The son?
And the dad!
The
Matthew
son?
Broderick has a boner in the movie too.
They go,
oh, hey, what's up?
And what about...
But he had a boner, by the way, speaking of Danny DeVito, like, they call it the boner at the end of the scene, so for the whole scene, he has a boner. Which makes
well,
it funnier
to
watch.
I will say, it was not clear whether or not it was soft or hard.
Yeah, I thought,
oh, you think
I
it was
thought,
out
I
of
imagined
his,
it was,
just
was
out
soft.
Of his
boxers.
Oh. Just hanging out
of his boxers. Just hanging out of his boxers.
Bro,
why would he have had a boner?
Why would he have had a boner?
Oh, I think it was like more than one.
If DeVito's cock is out, it's hard.
No, it wasn't.
No, it's Matthew Broderick.
Broderick.
I thought somebody said Danny DeVito.
Matthew Broderick hasn't been hard in the last decade.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All right, so June, you're talking about the sheriff.
Sorry, because I was just saying that there's a weird sexual element to this family movie.
Oh, 100%. And by the way, that, I don't know. For me, that boy was too young to have those, call me grandma if you will, but to have those kind of sexual instincts toward Danny DeVito's twins.
I don't think you're right even a little bit.
Yeah. He was 10.
He's a young kid. He sees hot girls. He sees boobies. He was all about boobs.
He's not like pre-pubescent even.
What's that?
Yes, he is.
He's like 12 years old. Yeah.
That kid is that kid had the same journey that I had with the Double Trouble twins. They were twins on a TV show called Double Trouble.
Oh, I remember that.
They were like
that
the hottest. Please, if you know this show.
Yeah.
Clap. Oh, they're the old people in the crowd.
Yeah. By the way, the people in class are lying. Yeah.
I was obsessed with them sexually.
Yeah, I have to correct it.
I was obsessed with that girl on that show where she could freeze time by like touching her fingers.
Oh,
like,
oh yeah,
small wonder.
Out of this world, maybe.
Out of this world.
Yeah.
Anyway, the sheriff scene though. That
also Michelle Pfeiffer in Lady Hawk.
Good call.
And Rutger Hauer was just like grossing her up.
I liked a lot of the girls on Rags to Riches, the TV show.
That's vintage Broderick.
Vintage.
Sorry.
No, anyway, the sheriff scene, I get that, now I understand that it was set up earlier, but...
Barely,
and it didn't, I guess my problem with it was it didn't tie into the story
in any way,
shape, or form. I guess that's my problem with it.
That's valid.
Great point. Because I felt like the movie wanted to have little, like, almost like this town is like Stars Hollow and the Gilmore Girls.
Right. Everybody's got their.
Everybody's a quirky character, mm-hmm. you know?
And that sounds like fun. Like,
oh my God, I would love
the
that.
The fat dude from Lost.
Yes, Jorge
Hurley.
Garcia.
Jorge Garcia.
Jorge Garcia is kind of in this movie.
But, like, in such an awkward way. way? Who is he?
He basically has three scenes. The first scene, he like pushes Matthew Broderick out of the way to deem Danny DeVito the King of Christmas.
He's like, I'm so happy to meet you.
He's like, oh, I have a question about mistletoe. How should I hang it? Danny DeVito's like, oh, you should hang it like this. He's like, okay, great. And Matthew Broderick's like, oh, I wouldn't have hung it like that. And then he narrates a speed skating thing. And then at one point,
it's a bigger deal than
he
is currently on Lost at this point.
At this time, that's the thing.
Wait, right.
Lost is definitely on the air whatever you said, 2007?
Yes, 2006. Yeah. Yes. Lost is on, and also the daughter is currently on Arrested Development, correct?
I guess you're right.
And she's in this.
And Fred Armis is on SNL. People are working. Working hard to forget that they were in this movie. There is also a guy in this movie, I want to just point out, another weird for weird's sake character. The guy who probably took too many improv classes, the car dealer.
Car dealer manager.
This kid, I come from an improv background. That was some bad improv.
What about the threesome that talks about when they're like,
wait, there was a threesome in this movie?
Yeah, between Danny DeVito and his daughters.
I would then love this movie. You know why I know it's possible? There's no way he's their father.
But no, where he, you know when Danny DeVito sells the owner of the car dealership a car?
Yeah.
And we're watching it from outside and the three guys ahead of it literally go like, watch this one. Not exaggerating. And then they're like, hey, go sell a car to that one. And then he walks outside and he goes, one's born every minute. And then the three of them, and I'm like, I know that was an improv audition. Yeah. I know those guys
were fun, guys.
And they're like, I got 1,000. What? And it was just so weird.
The worst line of the whole movie, the improv line is Danny DeVito is coming into the office, and he goes, oh, hold on a second. I just got to send off this important email. That was this, like it was so like a level one improv student.
Wow.
Just important email. Like what?
The scene
it wasn't even important email. That makes it sound better.
I think it was just like
send an email.
Yeah, it was really. It
wasn't
was dumb.
Even important.
Well, this was 2006 when sending an email was a pretty big deal.
The scene where I actually felt very offended and I felt very upset.
I think we're gonna have the same.
I know you feel the same.
We're gonna
way
have the same.
Is the scene in which. Now, I guess I'm sort of blanking on Maybe's name, her real name.
Yes. Oh, Alia Shawkat.
Yes, when her character's journey is that she's kind of frumpy and a sullen teenager. And then when the twins move across the street, they really kind of
take
sex
her under their wing.
Let her date
Marines that are visiting town.
Yeah,
right.
But it goes both ways because she gives them Jane Austen.
That's exactly right.
No, Emily Dickinson.
Emily Dickinson.
Should we play that scene?
Sure.
Oh, please.
Because I know you're. I think I know where you're going, and I just figure like
guys, try not to jerk off.
I'm sorry.
Here we go. Hold on, 1 second. Oh, sorry.
This scene makes me so mad.
Maybe is the best.
Maybe is the best.
Yeah.
She is
not
the best.
In this.
No, see, it's weird. I actually think she's doing a great job.
I actually thought she
Chenoweth
was good.
Was doing.
Actually, I thought Kristen Chenoweth did
trying.
A great job.
Guys, everybody's trying.
Nope, everyone was not Matthew Broderick was not trying.
Matthew Broderick not trying.
And Danny DeVito was not trying.
I think Danny DeVito's
doing the best he can.
Well, according to my in.
Oh,
yeah.
Not
allegedly.
A big deal. Allegedly.
I hope you
allegedly.
Told her you're going to be saying this on something that's
going to
go on.
She gave me full, she gave me full, whatever. But she said that Danny DeVito literally would just come out, do his lines, and get in a plane and leave, every couple days. He was just not having any part of it.
A plane right over there.
Literally. She was just he phoned it in. Kristen Chenoweth had just broken up with Aaron Sorkin.
Oh, boy.
And was sobbing, every day.
Oh, boy.
And Kristen Davis told my friend Jillian to freeze her eggs. So.
Wow.
Yeah. It was.
If I can time travel
crazy.
To any time, it would be to 2006 to the set of this movie. What was going
Literally,
on?
Literally, you got Broderick just at rock bottom. I mean, this she was like...
It by the way, Matthew Broderick killed a human being, right? Remember that? In France?
With Jennifer... No, in Ireland.
Oh
in
my Ireland. God, that's right.
So this is worse than that.
This was worse than that.
That is not alleged.
Yeah, that is not alleged.
Okay, here is the scene that that we were talking about.
Too soon?
That's got it going on. Man, look at that.
Now, the other thing I'll ask, though, about the sheriff scene, I know I'm really stuck on it, but when Matthew Broderick sees that he's cross-dressing, well, first of all, the guy does lie about it and says it's not a problem.
Maybe it just needs to boot up now.
All right, great. Epson, guys.
My question, though, is why, knowing that he's a cross-dresser, can't Matthew Broderick still file his complaint? Well, that I didn't understand either.
I'll tell you, because he's willing to when the sheriff is just wearing a bra.
Yeah.
But when
he's
the sheriff is shown to be wearing a high-waisted, not quite thong,
he thinks he's opening himself up to blackmail.
Then he's like, oh, no, no. This is now too weird for me. I gotta get out of here. I would theorize he popped a bone. He was like, uh-oh, I want in, so I gotta
Wait
get
a second, you
out.
Really gave a lot of backstory here.
Well, I'm just gonna say what happened for me.
All right.
You got an erection from cross-dressing sheriff?
No, just from underwear. Just from underwear. It didn't matter who was in it. That underwear was gray.
We're back. Here we go. We can finish this discussion or we can watch the scene.
Let's watch the scene.
Keep going. Here we go. I was just killing time.
I mean, that's got it going on. Yeah, look at that.
Get ready. They've been in a huge way.
Well, you're a guy,
but
right?
Now they're bonding for the first time.
Hey, is it getting hot out here? Is it just you, girl?
Oh, nice dip.
Wow. Ow. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Woo. Hey, baby, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? I'll wait up for
you, dear. Oh, God, I'm your daddy.
I'm your daddy. Oh. I'm your daddy. Ah,
my God.
Oh, God. My God.
Then they immediately run into a church to wash their eyes out with holy water. That is not an exaggeration.
A church really that has a PA system, though, yes. Because the PA comes on to alert them that there's the speed skating competition is starting.
Yep.
And it echoes through the church. This is actually, it's a very offensive scene because they've been fighting this whole time and there's so much animosity between them. They can't seem to, see eye to eye.
There's nothing they can agree on.
There's nothing they can agree on.
And their wives have had enough.
Each other.
Their wives have had enough.
What they connect on and where they meet is verbally harassing. And verbally attacking.
From the middle of a crowd of people they know.
This is the problem I have.
And by the way, no one else looks into it. No one else looks into it.
This is the problem I have with it. It's more on this line, but go ahead.
No, that's it. But I have a big problem with that.
But mine was more, he's like the pinnacle, he's like the Mr. Eye doctor of the town,
right.
Who is very uptight and frigid, and all of a sudden he's catcalling a super sexual Christmas show in the middle of this cute town parade thing. Why that show would be happening, and now he's screaming out catcalls completely out of character.
I had a character
problem.
Yeah, he's saying things as though he's at a strip club.
As if this town's the version of this show that happens in this town, part of the tradition is that the men in the crowd scream obscenities at the women on stage.
And every year they have their obeying, sexy show.
Yeah, it's as if he's obeying those rules because it is clearly fine for him because DeVito's like, well, you're a man, right? We can agree on this, right? And they're like, oh, show us your titties, basically.
Now, my issue is actually different than all three of yours. Which is, I feel like Matthew Broderick has never said those words in his life.
Yep. Well, and I think you're so right. Awkward.
Suck my big hard dick. You know you want it. I'm going to give it to you. Dirty girl.
And by
like,
the
that's
way,
what it
that's,
sounds like.
That's right. And I think that in the scene, you can see that he's playing that. He's looking sort of for permission from Danny DeVito to say these things.
But who's
never
but it was
daddy?
So out of character.
Who's your
and
daddy
this was my
so
other problem
sexual.
With it is... as they're doing their sexy Christmas, annual Christmas dance, they have, by at this point, they've done a couple moves where they have turned toward the audience numerous times. The whole dance has not just been here.
And
they have twirled where you have clearly seen their face. And you are clearly looking right at them as you're yelling obscenities.
They're looking down low. What you're misunderstanding is that they spent
looking at the
twirl,
vagina,
looking at the bum and lower part, and then one at the boobs, and then not until the third twirl did they see faces. And even then, it's just because they were close
to
hair.
I agree with Jason.
But you know what? It's just so fucked up.
What?
Because it's like, what?
They're children. They know their faces.
Butts, boobs, hair. That's how it goes.
That's what they were looking.
That's the order.
Boom, boom.
And the
boom,
reason boom, why, boom. It, by the way, it plays into the rest of the story is Matthew Broderick's character is really resisting the idea that Alia is growing up and that she's becoming a woman.
Yeah.
And it's
and this
really
is how you become a woman.
Well, and that and
dancing
that,
sexy the at the Christmas
of this
festival.
Fear, which is so fucked up, is that once he sees her that way, he wants to fuck her.
Well, the thing
that's
my
disgusting.
My problem, and I mean I know that it's just simply for the joke. But it's not like,
that's,
hey, looking good, or nice ass,
no.
or
who's blah, blah, blah.
Who's your daddy?
Your daddy is something more that you say, like, who's your daddy?
That's exactly.
You like that?
Oh, yeah. All I'm going to say is that.
Shout that out.
Yeah. Carrie. Oh, yeah, Carrie. You like? You think Samantha likes this? I want all of you to think about that tonight when you're fucking each other. And then start laughing and be like, were you thinking about it? I was too, yeah. Me too. And then come.
Well, I guess we can all just agree to the fact that Sabrina and Kelly Aldridge, the two twins in the movie, really paid off that they practiced for 5 hours a day for 2 weeks for that dance number. 5 hours a day for two
that
weeks.
Dance number is
for
special.
That. June and I could do that dance number right now.
5 hours a day.
We're not.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. 5 hours a day.
Steps.
5 hours a day for 2 weeks.
That is the excess of Hollywood.
Hey everybody, it's almost a new year, and with new resolutions, you're probably thinking, I want to read more. Guess what? That's a bad resolution. You should say, I want to listen more, and you can do it with Audible. Audible has over 150,000 audiobooks. That's like a book a day for a year, okay? And they have amazing stand-up sets you can even choose from. You can play it on any platform, iPods, iPhones, Windows phones, MP3 players. All you need is the desire to read, but not actually the reading part, because Audible makes everything else easy for you. Go to Audible now, you'll get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial. All you have to do is log into audiblepodcast.com/how, H-O-W, to get it. With so many choices, it can be hard to choose which audiobook to download first, but let me tell you a book that I actually love. It's called Hollywood Said No, Orphan Film Scripts, Bastard Scenes, and Abandoned Darlings of the creators of Mr. Show. These are all the collected sketches and scripts that they could never do. They recorded it. It sounds amazing. It's like having Mr. Show back in your ears. For a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial, visit audiblepodcast.com/how. That's audiblepodcast.com/how for a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial. Forget reading. Start listening.
Let's go into the audience. Let's see what kind of questions the audience has, maybe as we raise your hand if you have something that we have not talked about, something that you saw. There's a couple things I still want to get to, too, but here we go. Mike, I'll hold it. There we go. Your name, your favorite part of this movie, and your question.
My name is Ian. My favorite part is when Danny DeVito becomes the really likable character that everyone's supposed to root for because he's the underdog. And just going off of what you guys were talking about, the actresses practice for 5 hour days for 5 hours a day for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And these characters obviously must have practiced a lot. And the parents had no idea they were practicing. Fair
amazing
playing.
Point.
Great point. Now,
amazing.
Don't get it confused, though.
Their
characters
other.
May have picked this up very quickly.
Oh, their
characters.
The actors, especially those twins.
Had a harder time.
The twins might have already worked out that dance. Like, that might be their thing.
But I
and they
feel
just,
like
slotted her in.
Arrested D, her character would have needed more time.
Right.
But you know what? Matthew was so distracted by all of the lights and his anger that he probably didn't notice.
All of the lights.
Before we ask one more question, I'm just realizing that was Danny DeVito worried at all that these lights being seen from space was just going to be a seasonal thing for him?
He just wanted to be seen
once.
He wanted
that
once. He just wanted one time.
One time. He does clarify it, too. He goes, I want my house to be seen from space. And everyone applauds and goes, outer space.
That is really? True. He did say that. He did say outer.
He does take a moment. Your name, your favorite character in this movie, and your question, go.
My name's Connor. I'd say Danny DeVito because he's one of the only likable people in this movie. We haven't...
That's interesting. People really like
DeVito. I think people's love for DeVito is winning
clouding
out over
the judgment
him in this
yeah.
movie.
But he is
you
more
know he's
likable
not Frank
than
Reynolds in this movie.
I don't want to see him win. As the movie progresses, I like him less and less. Here we go. Well,
I do love him, and it's always so many. But he forged a signature on a card that never comes into play again. What was that?
Oh, you're there's... right, because they set up a dare, essentially.
The speed skating.
And then he wins. DeVito wins.
DeVito tricks him.
Some brother has to buy the car.
Right.
Yeah.
But he also steals the car, steals a Christmas tree.
Correct.
It's a lot. Let's see.
Things a con man might do. If I was playing $25,000 pyramid and you said, steals a Christmas tree, steals a car, I might be
Danny DeVito.
Things a con man might do. Things a thief might do.
But there is a darkness to his character and his history. I mean, we find out that he's been in, they're in serious debt, it seems.
Just noticing these people have my face on their shirt.
Wow. All right, here you go. Your name, your question, but before your question, your favorite character.
Sujin Park at the end.
Great. Great. You win.
Time scale of this movie, because they were able to do the light thing from the hotel, cook dinner, call all of the neighbors to come bring lights. Just what was the time? Just put this over?
Well, yeah, this is that's a crazy the end.
Christmas Eve in this
town is about a week.
Yeah,
solid week.
Yeah, Christmas. Yeah, you're right. Like a week's worth of activities happens during one night, including. MTV getting from MTV
New York City.
to Massachusetts.
By the way, why is MTV the pinnacle of being like MTV is going to cover it? Danny DeVito would be 60 Minutes would be interesting to Danny DeVito, you would think. Or
I would love it
again,
if Mike Wallace
that's
was
who
in
this
movie
was for.
Check it out. Sway is coming to our house to do an exclusive report. I don't know if we could do the MTV interview. The Fuse interview is going to be here earlier. We got to do... All right, your name, your favorite character, and your question.
My name's Drew, definitely the sexy sheriff. And there's a moment where Matthew Broderick talks about growing up basically in the Dust Bowl, eating French fries and a milkshake for Christmas. Yet he went on to have this amazing optometry practice. His journey is amazing.
It is amazing. That's America. That is America.
I don't know if it's an amazing optometry practice. I think he's the only game in town.
Which, by the way, I actually wanted to bring you back. That Who's Your Daddy now makes more sense. He's an optometrist, which is very close to dentistry, and dentists are all up to weird shit. So I feel like optometrist, he's ready to yell at Who's Your Daddy.
I don't know, because I feel like optometrists, by giving you the gift of sight, are only letting you see the weird stuff they're going to do to you.
All right, your name... Oh.
I want you to see this in exact clarity.
Your name, your favorite character, and your question.
Patrick... Cal Penn?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And it just bothers me that they show Google Maps at night. I've never seen a night.
That's a great point.
An unbelievable point.
Yeah, and again, we go back to that idea that in the movie makes no sense because ultimately there's no live satellite images going on at any point. You can't just pull up the lives. That would be very detrimental.
The movie makes no sense for many reasons. When the lights on the house do go on, the people in the computer center at Cal Penn University have to turn away from their monitors because the footage being broadcast from space is so bright, as to blind them on the computer. Go fuck yourself, this movie.
What? Boy. Jason, are you telling me that sometimes when you watch a movie like this, when the lights come on really bright, like it doesn't hurt your eyes sometimes?
No,
like, you
don't have to turn down the...
I ride
enough,
the brightness.
It does not.
Oh, man,
enough,
I ride the brightness all the time. Brightness and volume. I'm
you know
always,
what? You know what? A computer monitor cannot put out enough light to make you turn away.
Maybe if that
the
brightness is really jacked up.
The only thing that can make me turn away is an image on the computer monitor. Which I can send you guys some really fucking weird stuff.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Your name, your favorite character, your question.
My name's Connor. My favorite character is Fred Armisen's. And,
Spread Armisen?
Yes.
Spread.
It sounded like you said Spread Armisen.
It did.
That's Fred Armisen's porn name.
Spread
Armisen.
Jason touched on this a little bit already, but I'm just amazed at how nonplussed everybody is at all the crazy shit going on. Multiple times Christmas trees catch on fire, one of which is in their house, and they just kind of stand there cracking jokes.
They do. They quip. Yeah. They're doing quips.
And there's we haven't even talked about that Christmas tree scene.
No.
First of all,
you mean when the tree lit on fire because gas was near it?
No. That's
or
the other
do you mean the time when a military grade firework?
Oh. Can we
that
talk
doesn't
about
exist.
This? Can we talk about this scene? Oh,
I thought there was a missed opportunity because. A missed opportunity there because they've established that in this town there's the Christmas guy, there's the 4th of July guy, and then there's the Memorial Day guy.
Yeah. He offered Danny DeVito could be Halloween guy.
Right.
Which, by the way, for DeVito, that would be a good gig.
That's great, right?
I see a sequel of this movie about home haunts.
Sounds
great. I would like to see a sequel about home haunts.
But I assumed we were going to go to the 4th of July guy for those fireworks.
Great.
Oh,
real missed opportunity.
Real missed opportunity.
That was a real missed opportunity.
Oh, you don't want to... You didn't mean you didn't like that he went to the seedy part of the beautiful town
and talked to the illegal
talk to the only dark person
in this movie.
That was not okay.
Literally the only, and he wasn't even that dark, but it was just in comparison
dark
to
enough.
All the
you
other
are, you are ambiguously brown. And you're not the guy in this movie running the computer company, so you must be shady. Can I buy something illegal off of you?
I think the justification is, oh, you thought he was going to buy weapons. This is just fireworks.
Well, the good news about this movie is you never get ahead of them. It's literally like they set stuff up and you're just like, okay, let's just...
I'll watch that play out.
Let's just watch that play out. Like the sheriff does the thing. Or this urn is the most expensive thing in our home.
But that is... The whole movie
we'll probably
is based
never
on...
mention that again.
There are episodes of Benny Hill that are
more subtle
than this movie. And if you don't know what Benny Hill is, get the fuck out of here.
All right, this guy.
No, but seriously, go home and watch it if you don't know what Benny Hill is.
Your name, your title for this movie, if you could title it anything, and your question. Go.
My name is Chris. Deck, it sounds like they just want to punch the halls. Is that what they're talking about? They're
No, his name is Hall. His name is...
His first name was Buddy Hall.
Oh, his last name was Hall!
Oh!
No. I got that.
Oh.
But do you think you wanted to punch him?
Guys!
All right, I'll take it. Good, wow, standing ovation for that. I like it. Yes, here's the question.
So my favorite character is definitely Harley from Lost.
This question better live
up
to that.
Didn't ask about your favorite character.
He had a beer sign around his... When they asked for lights, he brought the beer. Anyway, so when
how did he power that neon sign?
So when Buddy's light show doesn't work, the whole town shows up to support him, and they pull out their flip phones. And
oh, this is the best.
To try and power this light show to be seen from space, they open their dimly lit razors, their razor phones, and they hold them up, and like about half of them are holding them up, right?
Yeah.
And then the kid points out that no, the plug is just not plugged in. So all that effort was for nothing.
Oh no, that effort was so that Kristen Chenoweth could sing a goddamn song.
Yes.
That was a good... I forgot all about that.
No,
here's what I want
See, that's where you're wrong, guy.
Here's what I'm wondering, because I don't... So most of the townspeople did not know that the switch wasn't turned, right?
Nobody
so,
knew. Yeah.
No one knew. Not even Danny DeVito.
No, but so they, in their minds, are we leaving them thinking... That, are they thinking to themselves... The power of song, the power of community, the power of Jesus Christ.
I'm just wishing really hard.
Yeah.
Is that
what they're thinking?
They think it's the magic of Christmas. It's Santa.
They don't think, in my mind, they don't think they're going to be seen from space. They just think now they're having like a town moment.
I get that. But I'm saying when the lights actually
come back on,
yeah.
Are they thinking that they did that?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. I'm sorry. Yep. Ooh, good question.
Was anyone else just concerned that the lights that are on this tree literally are like more lights than would be on, you know what I mean, all of Disneyland or something? And it's all one little plug? Like,
well, I want to talk about...
It can easily sort of loosen. It's like, it's...
My
electricity doesn't work that way.
We didn't talk about this, but I think it's worth just bringing up for this one point. That when Matthew Broderick decides to cut the power, he dresses up like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
And his plan is to simply use the Leatherman to cut the box open and then throw a snowball inside of it.
Yeah.
But he is so outfitted.
How about... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
How about the fact that in order to execute this piece of shit action...
Which is basically to walk across the street.
He sends his son in pajamas to the top of a telephone pole in the middle of winter.
You have
his son wanted to do it.
He sends his son to do the most dangerous thing while he saunters across the yard
and throws
a snowball into a circuit breaker.
You have brought up the thing that bothered me the most of the entire movie.
I love you.
Is the snow. The snow never moves.
Never melts.
It never melts.
There's a snowflake that lands on Dum Dum Chenoweth's mouth. And it is there for 2.5 minutes.
And if you look at like the walkway up to their house, the snow never moves. People are outside in robes constantly. Yeah.
There's no cold air.
There's no cold air. This is just, this is like on the Universal lot or something.
Literally, and you can see the sunny day. And I seriously, there was one shot where Kristen Davis sort of gave like a half-assed like, And I was just like, was the director so caught up in everyone's journey and making sure everyone was nailing that part?
No.
That he forgot to go, oh, and by the way, it's 14 degrees outside and you're in a mini skirt, so play that too.
Nope. No need, because the comedy was taking you through. I do know where it was shot. It was shot in the place where Matthew Broderick's soul was. It was a really beautiful, beautiful area. A lot of free land there. One more question from the audience. Who has a good question? We're some ladies with some questions. All right, here we go. All right. What would you title the movie? What's your name and what's your question? Here you go.
My name's Shay. I would title the movie, like, Sad Dads.
That's great.
Really good.
I was just wondering, Danny DeVito seems he wants to find his passion. He can't decide what he wants to do. He should be an audiovisual engineer for, like, Deadmau5 or something.
Yeah, that's because, by the way, but what they also set up about him is that he's a salesman, and it seems like he
great,
does...
Great, really good one.
He can sell anything. Selling. He can sell snow to an Eskimo.
Here's what's problematic.
They should have used that in the movie.
The premise is that he can sell anything.
I have a
so
couple
it seems
things
like he loves to
used.
Sell. He just hasn't found the right product.
Well, what you see in the when he sells the car is he does it, and he's like, yeah, and then he's like, he's like, it's almost like too easy to conquer. You know what I mean? That happens a couple of times
and
where
that's
he like.
That's why he has to go to space.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like you know the why would I want to be a member of a club that would have me as a member? You know what I mean? Like
so
speaking of Deadmau5.
I was gonna play the scene where Danny DeVito is DJing so much that smoke comes off
do.
The DJ table.
Please do.
Again, I'm not a DJ. June, you are. You actually know stuff about being a DJ.
I do. I know a little bit about it.
Here you go. Watch
do you know
this.
As much about DJing as you do about tornadoes?
That is why I brought it up. Where does it fall on the scale? You know the most about DJing, I would imagine.
DJing, I mean, it's DJing, gorillas, tornadoes, and...
Street Fighter.
And,
yeah, DJing.
And I believe, is science? Science?
Lasers.
Lasers.
I'd say DJing is up top.
DJing is up
and
top.
And everything falls below. Everything DJing follows. Everything follows DJing.
Update your charts, nerds.
All right, here we go. This is Danny DeVito in his Dead Mouse performance. And when was that video shot of Danny DeVito waving?
When he was getting on his plane out of town.
Did the kid just wave at the picture of
yes,
DeVito on the house?
Yes, he did.
And you're moved.
Heavy metal.
By the way, this would definitely get a noise complaint. Right? I mean,
oh yeah.
Of course. Everything
gets a complaint.
Uh-oh. What an amazing show. And Danny DeVito said he's going to play that show until 4 in the morning every day. That's
well, because for him at that point, this is his turn is interesting because for him at that point,
okay,
it's no
on. Can
longer.
Can we do this? You're the director. I'm Danny DeVito. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't understand my motivation in this scene. Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. For you at this point in the movie,
uh-huh.
For your character,
yeah.
Buddy Hall.
Yep. Buddy Hall. E.
Yeah.
E.
It's no longer about getting your house seen from space.
Well, it's not. That's
no.
What I thought my whole
it's,
movie was about.
I know.
Like now being visible.
Now it's about, we're taking the global local. So it's about being seen from across the street.
Cool.
In a major, major
wow,
way.
Okay. How much am I getting to do this movie?
$4 million.
$4 million.
Hey, I'll say the lines. Fuck you.
Wait, you got the plane ready?
This is my problem with the movie is that it doesn't...
Travolta, gas up my jet.
Yeah, gas up the jet.
He no longer really cares here about being seen from space. It's about
just
creating a huge problem for Matthew Broderick.
Well, I was going to say, I thought at this point it just came down to he has to do this for himself.
Oh, that's interesting.
What about the other neighbors? I would like to see a movie with
the other neighbors. They're in a cul-de-sac. Yeah.
I just realized, by the way, in that scene that he's DJing and you're hearing record scratches.
Yep.
But that's not something that exists in modern DJing on iPhone.
Does traffic go entirely around his house?
We're looking at a screenshot right now.
On an island in the cul-de-sac?
Literally, there are no other houses. I think they even referenced that.
What?
Yeah,
like, they're like by themselves.
I ask you, what is this?
I literally have that written so many times. Like, what is this? Exclamation point.
Is this movie a prank? Perhaps.
I will say, here's some interesting facts about this movie. The budget. One guess what the budget was?
$40 million.
$40.
$51 million.
And it's all on the screen, you guys.
And opening week was $12 million. It says most films on our show, right, have had terrible openings, but at least almost all of them have made back their money over the course of their lifetime. This movie has still not made back its money.
Amazing.
Of $51 million. Directed by the guy who directed Big Mama's House 2. And Big Mama Like Father Like Son. And also
Blossom.
Yeah. And,
well,
oh,
I
Blossom,
mean, I think,
yes.
Like, hey, you know, like,
and the writer also wrote Big Mama, Santa Claus 2.
They're a team.
And the Black Honeymooners
when
movie.
When it works.
Wow.
Yeah, you heard that right. The Black Honeymooners movie.
Wait, is there any chance it was actually called the Black Honeymooners movie?
I have to double check. I don't think so.
I wish.
It was also nominated for a Razzie for the worst excuse for family entertainment.
That's a new category I've never seen.
That is... this should just win that every year.
Well, obviously we had an opinion about this movie, but it is now time to read a second opinion. These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon. To be honest, this is really hard because there are very few of them, and I wouldn't even know if these are the best, but I figured I'd have to read a couple. Here they are. This one is from a woman in the Ukraine. Okay,
please
here we
read
go.
It in a Ukrainian accent.
All right, okay, it goes, it doesn't deserve five stars completely since it's not in the same category as It's a Wonderful Life. But I decided to give them five stars anyway because our house in this film, because in ours, this is the Ukraine, because in our house, it's considered a Christmas classic. Five stars.
Matthew Broderick wrote that.
That poor family. Can you imagine if this was like what you were excited to watch with your family? And then you grew up to be old enough to know, like, oh no. Like, we watched garbage.
Here is another one by Veggie Girl. I bought this movie. I thought this movie was great. Some other movies that are part of my Christmas tradition are Christmas Vacation, The Santa Claus, Elf, Scrooged, Trapped in Paradise, Jingle All the Way, and March of the Wooden Soldiers. I only list them so you get an idea of the kinds of movies I like. And if you like those, then it's a good guess you're gonna like this movie as well.
Just that's seeing weird, how they. She implying that we might think she's listing them like to name drop movies.
My sincere hope is that if you went to the Amazon page for every one of those other movies, she wrote a review for that movie using the same list, adding this for those movies.
Just seeing how they lit up the house in this movie is worth the watch. It looks like he has a TV screen on his roof. It's very cool. Five stars.
That review was written in the 90s.
I wish that.
That was actually written, by the way, that was written on, I just saw this now, December 25th. Christmas,
you know,
2007.
They were.
So someone on Christmas Day was like, "Let me get to Amazon and write this up."
You know
that
what?
Is so
on Christmas,
really...
you know, you get moved. But there's a lot of emotion in
guys,
this movie.
That really
guys,
that's me. That's actually really sad. That's really sad.
But am I like? Because I'll say this: like for this person, this is that movie, and that's a bummer. For me, it's Love Actually. I will watch Love Actually on Christmas, and then I will want to go and write an Amazon review.
Oh, okay.
I love
really?
That movie. I'm a sucker for that movie.
You like Rick from The Walking Dead in there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. To me, you are perfect. Come on, guys.
As
nobody
we wrap
love
up.
Actually?
As we wrap up, anything that we missed, anything we want to chat about?
God,
I know we didn't talk about the toxic spit from the camel.
Oh, we didn't talk about falling into the camel shit or the toxic. And the great thing about Matthew Broderick is when he does the Mission Impossible is what we're talking about. He falls into the camel. Oh, there's also a live nativity scene on Danny DeVito's lawn.
Which he hires actors and camels. Where the money is coming from, we don't know.
Where is the money coming from?
We don't know.
He's a con man.
And they're very
because
much
he's
in
a con
debt.
Man.
They're in debt, and he loses his job halfway through the
guys,
movie.
Guys, he sells the urn.
Yeah,
he
but not
that was way later. That was later. That was way later.
Anyway,
that was for the LED screen.
So Broderick falls in a huge pile of camel shit. Then looks up at the camel, and the camel spits on him. And he's like, oh, I can't catch him. He goes,
but the camel spits on him in, like, what, like, ooze from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
Yeah, he got
like,
slime.
Slash, like a Bukkake video.
Yes.
Yeah.
He basically gets, like, green jizzed on. At which point, he then gets up and he gets out of the camel thing. There's no spit or shit on him.
And I thought of that too, and I was like, that is a guy who's like, fuck this, I
nope.
do one shot.
I did it. I did it, and I won't do it in it.
Done.
It's not on
like
any
one
other
take.
Shot.
I do
it's
one
like,
take.
We're like, it's like my favorite joke in Ghostbusters where Bill Murray only has the slightest marshmallow like on the tip of his head. Everyone else is covered. You're like, he was like, no, do not pour a marshmallow on me. I was slimed earlier in the movie. I did it. That's fine.
I would like to mention the nude sleeping bag scene.
Oh, we have that too.
Oh, yeah.
That is definitely worth mentioning.
And
I thought that
please,
that was a funny scene. I think the premise of that scene is really funny.
Well,
it could have been funny.
The
I
lead
do.
Up is, but the lead up is bananas.
Well, the lead up is insane. But just the idea that, you know, Danny DeVito took off all his clothes to save his life. I mean, I thought that
by the way,
would be
someone,
funny, but what's weird about it...
Avril Haley, our clip puller, she pulled a picture of Matthew Broderick with Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Matthew Broderick in the hospital
that
bed
is
here.
Amazing.
Double, just get to see the ghost of Christmas past and the ghost of Christmas future. Just purely for the people here.
I don't know if that is a funny scene.
I think it could have been.
Let's play it and then talk about it.
To be on top of him.
Here we go. Hang on.
What's happened, just so you know contextually, because this is after the sled, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So what's happened is DeVito, okay, guys, get ready, has a life-size Santa sled with horses that he has duct tape antlers to on his lawn.
He casually mentions they may get a little spooked. Keep your voice down.
Because he says,
you definitely don't know something's going to happen he's going to get dragged away.
I found these horses on the outskirts of town.
By the way,
in suburban Massachusetts.
I think they belong to that brownish guy. The firework guy.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Well, perhaps. He's also on the outskirts.
So then they convince Matthew Broderick to put on a Santa suit, get in the thing, and then the horses, of course, take off. He goes all the way through town, gets on the ice of a lake, and falls in.
A beautiful CGI scene.
Oh, yep. It's gorgeous.
Right out of Avatar. Here we go. So
to this.
Yep. He's coming too. I think he's going to be all right.
Where am I?
We're in the back seat of your wife's car on the way to the hospital. You warming up?
Yeah. Where are my clothes?
You were freezing to death. We had to get you out of there.
It's funny.
Where are your clothes?
I had to get your body temperature up, so I stripped us both down and zipped us into this sleeping bag. Trust me, it works. I've done it a half a dozen times. Ah! Oh. Ah!
So a naked Danny DeVito is caressing Matthew Broderick.
I just want you guys to realize, not one laugh.
Yeah, but...
like, not even like a...
He's...
zero. People
he's done that like, half a dozen times?
Or so.
I did want to read this one thing about that scene. The sleeping bag scene is the director's favorite scene in the movie.
Obviously.
They did 9 takes of it and then discovered... the camera wasn't on.
That's astonishing.
That I wrote as I'm watching this, how much they all were standing around the monitors, chuckling, cut. Okay, let's do that one more time.
Oh, see, I bet they weren't at all.
Yeah,
I bet they brought this joyless.
I think this brought them all to life.
Really?
They were waiting. They were loving it.
I feel like the guy, the director, like was at Video Village. He was like, all right. Okay. And then like walked over to where those guys were and was like, guys, that one was great. But let's do it one more time. And like I feel like he had to like try to convince them.
Because in a way, this is a scene that makes Danny DeVito appear actually very lovable.
Yep.
And I think the way the scene could have played out is Matthew Broderick wakes up, Danny DeVito's on top of him, all over him.
Ooh.
Trying to warm him up.
Yeah.
We will find out later, but at the time, we don't know what's going
on. So what do you think's going on?
Well, Matthew Broderick's really resisting and
But I feel like...
and trying to get out of there, and Danny DeVito's like, stop.
Who's your daddy?
And he's getting even more physical with him. That scene could have been amazing.
Scene.
What? What's that now?
All right, guys. Would you recommend this movie? We really don't even have to go over this. No.
Not in a million years.
This is not a classic.
Unless you want to watch, like, sadness on screen.
No!
I do remember, this is the
Here's
one thing
I'll
I do
say.
Remember, I think... and I maybe, I'm not exaggerating this. I don't know the exact dates. But I remember this movie came out in like November and it was on DVD in December. Like I know that to be true. Like it was like something that was like the next week.
I will say, I think I do have a very long leash for Christmas movies.
Like, so do I. By the way, I sat down into this with like going, okay, it's going to be whatever, but I kind of am a sucker for a shitty
Christmas movie.
I'm in.
So in that sense...
I've never been this furious.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me. Am I usually this...
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, you are. In that sense, like, and there are some Christmas movies, like I told Paul, Mixed Nuts is one of my favorite Christmas movies. I don't really know if it's a good movie or not. I think it is. Steve Martin and Adam Sandler and Madeline Kahn. I think it's a good movie, but the Christmas of it all really does take me away to another.
Oh, The Family Stone.
Oh, yeah.
Is that good? Great movie.
It grows on you.
To me, that's a perfect example of, I am certain it is not a good movie.
But it weirdly grows on you when it's on cable.
Movie.
And it's a Christmas movie.
The Christmas of it is the Band-Aid that makes me think it's a good movie.
Exactly.
Because it, and the Rachel McAdams of it. You sort of give it a little slack. I think you're doing that a little with Love Actually.
Love it.
I think
although there are legitimately four storylines that are total garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, yeah, this one doesn't even...
I appreciated the Christmas element of it. But what I... But I don't think I could, in good faith, recommend this movie.
I will also just point out, if you're starting a Christmas movie, what's the best place to start it? In an optometrist's office? Like,
yep.
I mean, there was nothing even, like, there was no even big fanfare. Like,
I'm sort of wondering, though, now, as I think about that old lady and how she got hit by the snowball. In the beginning, you couldn't quite tell, because she's looking at these two lenses, and one is... obviously so much clearer than the other one. The other one's completely out of focus. But we never really know which one she lands on. And it almost seems like she prefers the out of focus lens.
And then says, I look hot.
And then says, I look hot. But I guess I'm wondering if she did prefer it. And so she really couldn't see.
And then she didn't see
the
snowball?
The snowball.
But I feel like the snowball came at her fast. Fast and furious.
I did... Too soon.
Oh, too soon. I really didn't mean that. I really wasn't saying that.
Guys, we have to end. Now we have to end. Thank you guys for joining us. Oh, did not mean to end the show on that kind of note, but give it up for Andrea Savage. She is amazing. You can follow her on Twitter at AKSavage, S-A-V-A-G-E. On Twitter. You can see me on the new At Midnight Show when it returns on January 6th. June is an Anchorman 2 right now. Guys, we love doing these live shows. Thank you so much for listening to them. And a big thank you to everybody here who makes this show possible. The entire crew and staff at Largo. Cody, our engineer at Earwolf. Avril Haley, who cuts our clips. We have Nathan Kiley, who does our research. Leanna Waldron, who does all of our graphic design. Katie Dyer, who does all of our cool social media stuff. Without them, we could not do this show. And without you, we couldn't do it either. Hey, guess what? How did this get made? We have pint glasses in the store. You can drink out of a How Did This Get Made pint glass. Finally, dreams are fulfilled. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Okay, that was the outro. Here is the intro to Deck the Halls. Hey, everybody, this is a live episode of How Did This Get Made? And as always, some things that we might be doing or saying are slightly more visual. So I tell you what I say all the time, which is deal with it. I don't want to cut out the funny stuff, so I'm leaving it all in there. So use your imagination. I hope you saw the movie and enjoy How Did This Get Made? Live from Largo.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.
Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer.
And I'm Amy Nicholson.
And we have a brand new podcast called Unspooled, where we are watching the 100 greatest films of all time.
Voted on by the AFI. We're going to be starting at number one, Citizen Kane, jumping to number 100 with Ben-Hur, and doing films that we've never even watched before.
And we'll be talking to experts, whether it's a cinematographer or a stuntman. We're going to get behind these movies and figure out what makes them so great. So if you like the way this sounds, why don't you subscribe right now to Unspooled, wherever you listen to your podcasts.